Turn your Bibles to Jonah, chapter 4. Jonah, chapter 4. And we're going to start at verses 7 and 8 today. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass, when the sun did arise, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat down upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted, and wished in himself to die, and said, "It's better for me to die than to live." In verses 7 and 8, you have the worm and the wind. That's the title. That was my code so that he'd get the title. Now, think about this. The same God who had prepared a whale to preserve Jonah from the perils of the sea, who had prepared a gourd just the day before to preserve him from the sun's burning rays, now prepared a worm to destroy the gourd plant and teach Jonah a lesson. Now, one thing that ought to arrest your attention as you read through the book of Jonah, something prominent that is taught here, is it proves that God has control over every aspect of His creation. From the largest sea creatures that swim in the sea to the smallest worms that get into a gourd plant and eat it and kill it. He also has control of the wind and the waves and weather. God's in control of it all. Now, you don't hear that taught in churches anymore. You definitely don't hear it in our world that God, our God, is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. I can tell you for a fact, every time a hurricane comes, a tornado comes, every time there's a tsunami, it is not Mother Nature. It's under the control of God Almighty. He does it on purpose, for a purpose. Many times it's for judgment. Other times, we don't see how it may affect things in the future, but it may even bring good. Even the out of all of that chaos, good may happen. People may be saved. But the point is this. You can pass all the laws, levy all the taxes you want, and you aren't going to change the climate or the weather even an ounce. Now they say, "Oh, well, wait a minute. We've dropped the temperature." Now they're saying we've dropped it 0.002 degrees. Yeah. According to what? Well, it's according to a computer model. The computer models don't know what the weather was like 6,000 years ago, or 4,000, or 2,000. I about had it up to here with all the computer models. I know God's in charge. He's in control of the climate and the weather. And there ain't a thing you and I can do to change it. It's fact. It's a fact. It's not only a fact, it's good common sense. Think about all the things that have been done. Now, I'm glad. Listen, we live in probably the cleanest country in the world. We probably have learned through technology how to clean coal, how to make our air cleaner. We probably do it better than anybody else, which is why we probably should be doing it. But a lot of this has nothing to do with climate. It has to do with control and the idea that there needs to be a centralized control over everything. It's preparing for the Antichrist, because that's how things are going to be when He finally is revealed. There will be a central controlling influence, and it will be evil. Now, I don't plan on being here for that. I believe the Lord's going to come back prior to that. But again, you say, well, you always harp on this. You know why? Because nobody else is. Nobody else takes a stand for God's sovereignty, His control over all creation. It's why people sit in churches and they accept the nonsense of evolution and everything that relates to it. Because preachers are too lily-livered to preach the truth about who's in control of the climate. There's too many weak tea, pink lemonade preachers with honey dripping out one side of their mouth and molasses on the other. They want to please everybody. They never take a stand for truth. I've had it. It's why churches are dying. Because people don't believe the Bible anymore. They don't believe just what the Word of God says. And we need preachers to stand. And churches to stand. It is alarming to me how many people, the percentages of people who accept evolutionary thought in church, in Baptist churches. It's alarming. And it's one of the reasons why so many people believe in what I call Captain Planet theology. You know, all the what is it, the climate, all these different climate theories. It goes all the way back to when your kids were little and they were watching Captain Planet and he was there to rescue the planet. It's been going on for years. It's nonsense. Well, I didn't mean to chase that rabbit, but it gets under my skin. It troubles me when people don't understand and don't believe and don't preach God is in control of everything. You get a hold of that, you won't worry anymore. You won't get all tore up when everything seems to be falling apart and it's chaotic and the world is a mess and we're on the verge of World War III and nuclear proliferation and disaster. You know what you can do? You can say, but our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing in comparison to the Most High God. I'm trusting Him. No matter what comes, my faith, my reliance is on Him and the promises I find in His Word. You won't worry about everything. This is why people, our world is full of worriers. It's crippling people. They fear everything. I think it was Pollyanna that said her dad, remember the movie Pollyanna? And, you know, I hate to say this, how worldly I love that movie, Pollyanna. She was the orphan. Her dad was a missionary. And she went and the preacher was real discouraged. And she went to him and said, you know, my dad said that there are 365 references in the Bible where it says to fear not, not be afraid. She said, that might help you. And that stuck. And you know what? I've never counted them up. But there's enough in the Word of God to take away every fear you got. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy path. If there's ever a time when our world is in such turmoil and people think that they can find answers in NATO or the UN. Those are just men with political aspirations and desire for more power and control, and they want to appear to solve the problems. I'm here to tell you, your hope ought to be in Christ, in God. I don't trust politicians. I pray for them. I pray God will save them. I pray that God will give them an understanding of His Word so that they can apply it, so that they can tell people, don't worry. God's in control. Pray about it. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Trust Him. Let's have a day of praying and seeking God about these problems. Wouldn't you love to hear that? But instead, they're devising all these different plans. You see, the plans of men often are messed up. And they, a lot of times, cause more problems than answers. This first point today, this proves God's in control of the smallest to the greatest. Learn the lesson. You learn that lesson, you understand God's sovereignty, that He works all things after the counsel of His own will, that shall not the God of all the earth do right? You won't have another worry in the world. So, well, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Neither do I. But thank God, I know the One who has it all in control. Now, let's get back to Jonah. Jonah woke up. Remember, the day before, he was just happy as a lark. He's thinking, you know what? Something must be going right. The Lord brought this beautiful big gourd plant with this lush leaves. It covered my head. No more burning rays of the sun for me. He must really approve of what I'm doing right now. That's how he went to bed that night, thinking, wow, God is so good. Isn't that the way we are a lot of times? When everything's prosperous, wow, God is great. He is so good. He's so great. I love the Lord. Next day. But God. Now, Jonah didn't understand it. He didn't know about this when he was sleeping. But God prepared a worm. When the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd, that it withered. Jonah awoke to see that his gourd plant, that had given him so much comfort and joy the day before, that it had withered away. And he was angry. He was disappointed that the thing he loved so well could be destroyed so suddenly and taken away. Do you see how fickle emotions can be when you base your life on your circumstances and on things that are going on around you rather than focusing on God and a proper response to His Word and His will? Jonah was all over the place, man. One day he's mad, next day he's glad. Then he gets up and what happened to my gourd? It's gone. What a lesson. Creature comforts and material things are not worthy of our trust. They may come and they may go in an instant. You know what they say about the bald guy, hair today and gone tomorrow. that was supposed to be funny. Hair today, see, I got hair today. Gone tomorrow, he's bald tomorrow. Did you get that, Hannah? Okay, good. But it's the way that creature comforts often are. Don't trust in them. They're uncertain. You just don't know what the future holds. But if your trust is in God and you recognize that He does all things well, even when things are scarce or hard or difficult, you can say, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with what shall be revealed in me in glory. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen. For the things which are seen are temporal, the things that are unseen are eternal." Trust God. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through or steal. For where your heart is, there is your treasure also. I get it right? Yeah. That was pretty close. Adelai is the verse checker now. Never thought I'd say that. But if I misquote a verse, she's on me like white on rice. You corrected me. Paul told Timothy this: "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy." 1 Timothy 6:17. We must be careful not to set our hearts upon things that God gives for our comfort rather than God Himself. We're to have an undivided affection for our Creator and our Redeemer. Don't love the gifts more than the giver. realize every good and perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Recognize where the gifts come from. Thank Him for them, but don't trust in them, because you'll be disappointed when they're taken away. And that does happen. That's a part of our human existence due to our depravity. Don't trust in things. Trust in God. Well, I wanted to get all through this, but I didn't. So, next time.